invest in 10 with a fund around 9 billion rands, and also to look at the manufacturing plan that was going to be built to manufacture those locomotives. That oversight took place also, and there were some reports and findings that were made by the committee, and therefore the follow-up activities need to also be on board, as we have observed that PRASA still faces a lot of challenges around expenditure, but the budget is not moving. And now, what has happened is that China has tapped into that budget to fund SANRA. So because of the problems that PRASA has been encountering, not being able to spend the budget, that budget is not taken to SANRA. Joint oversight on packet application program, the province with the focus on motor affairs was also took place in 2018. It was also important, there's an oversight report that was produced, there was recommendations and findings. There are certain issues that are outstanding that the committee, this committee, will need to do follow-up on to make sure that those recommendations that were made in the public oversight are indeed implemented. In improving collaboration also between committees as we are continuing with it. But fellow committees are always invited to be part and parcel of Section 22 expenditure report hearings. What guides this committee is the Money Bill Act, as my colleagues have said, to look into expenditure issues. But those expenditure issues are emanating from Section 32 report of the Public Finance Management Act that says the Secretary shall or must produce or publish expenditure report on a quarterly basis. And therefore, this is where this committee comes in. During in-year monitoring, you pass the budget in the first year, and then after passing the budget, you come in during in-year monitoring to monitor the expenditure during the implementation. Joint hearings were also held with health sector, which included the National Department of Health and all the provincial health department. Based on these issues that we discussed, very formal on health, efficient planning, resource allocation, poor maintenance of facilities, poor budgeting for health and non-compliance with supply chain processes, increase in medical legal claims and expenditure on mental health insurance grant. If I may pick up on this, medical legal claim chair is one of the critical areas that is disempowering provincial health because it absorbs a lot of budget from departments of health provision. And this area chair has actually started picking up when there was a tightening up of loose ends on your REF Act. When the REF Act was not tightening up, this area was in the REF, where lawyers would actually do claims against the state on behalf of the victims and so forth, and there would be an escalation of those claims and in a manner that does not make sense. Now, once those loose ends were tightened up in the REF, then they moved into the health sector. Now, the notion that is being said is that there is a coalition between the lawyers again with the officials of hospitals where they look at the files of patients that were incorrectly diagnosed and patients that were prescribed the wrong treatment and so forth, and they take those files and take them to court, take the state to court and claim on behalf of those patients. And when the claim is paid, it pays not only a once-off payment, but it also pays what they call future claims for those patients. And so, Gauteng was actually the leading province in terms of these claims. And what it says to you, honourable members, it says to you as we approve the budget through the new bill for provinces, if the budget for Gauteng is 7 billion rand, and it has got these medical claims that amounts to probably 1.5 billion, it means that budget is no longer 7 billion rand. I mean, you the plan of Gauteng. If you were to cost the planning of Gauteng, those plans to be implemented, the costing would say you need 7 billion rand. But because you already have a shortfall of 1.5 billion rand that goes into the local claim, you're already on the back foot in terms of implementing those plans. And that's why sometimes we have departments spending 100% of their budget, you know, what I'm saying. But actually then what? 40% of their budget have it because there are those accruals that they must cater for the current budget, which emerged in 2010. And those are the things that this committee will need to have to knit it on the back and look into it. We don't expect members to be on board as soon as possible, but slowly and gradually. They will study and so they give them such time, this kind of thing. These issues are quite critical, Chair. The other issue, Chair, was on National Health Insurance, the National Grant, which has not been moving. That's a problem, Chair, given the inequalities that our country has in terms of the health sector and many other sectors, perhaps, but for health sector, you've got a situation where the way the health is so expensive in terms of medical aid schemes, you need an intervention of mental health to standardize and provide for universal access for everyone. Otherwise, being alive becomes expensive. The same as with justice in South Africa. If you want justice, you must have money, you must have resources, and so forth. If you don't have money, you don't have resources, you can't get justice. So these are the inequalities that are being themselves out in various sectors of society. So NHI, when it was introduced, it was a very noble idea. It was a very good and progressive policy, which the government will need to pursue, and this parliament, through its committees, will have to oversee. That's why when we see the expenditure not moving, we become worried. That is like that something is not correct. When we pursued Chair, the Medical Legal Claim Chair as a committee, and we were informed that the Minister was, the former Minister of Health was busy dealing with the issue, so we needed to see an exit. But with the new term, the new committee, there's nothing stopping this committee to also revive that issue and call the Department of Health again to brief it on progress as far as this issue is concerned. Poses a risk to the budget of provinces. In strengthening oversight and over budget performance, Chair, departments were requested to report on the linkages or on the correlation between their actual expenditure and performance, which is what we could have spoken about. I'm not going to dwell on this one. But then the briefings by Office of the Chief Procurement Officer facilitates Indian monitoring over deviation as an aid against mechanism for unconscious expenditure. This also was also a very important report, Chair, because it allows this committee to determine early what could be an unauthorized expenditure through deviations. Chief Procurement Officer will come and present a report that says Department so and so was planning to buy certain things. However, because of certain uncontrollable issues, they requested a deviation. When you give that report, you are able to apply your mind and say, but was it really a matter of life and death to can approve that deviation or not? It gives you a sense of what you should expect during the adjustment budget, because that's where all those small deviations will be factored into adjustment budget during the HPPS, which you will eventually have to actually approve. And during the quarterly report, you come in and say, but department so-and-so, because we invite those departments, should list them, invite them, well, with the capacity that we have in the community and the time frames, we are unable to invite all for the department. But our researcher here, my colleague Musa, does this analysis post the treasurer's presentation and say, these are the departments that are most problematic, one of the members, which we think, from our side, should be invited. The committee is also a party to subtract and add on that particular list of departments that my colleague would have identified with the motivation as to how they should be invited. And therefore, when you conduct in one of those departments, you write a report, make recommendations to arrest certain anomalies, to address certain areas of weaknesses that you have detected through this report of the OCPO, Facility 2 report. There's also a report that is very important, Darren, that used to be produced by DBME, which is called the Impact Report, Minister of Business Report. It's also a report that tears out all the root causes of what you see in your expenditure report. That report gives you the root causes because it deals with the internal structures of each department as to whether there is policy, is in place, is it implemented or not implemented, is there any alignment in terms of the strategic planning with the MMEs or not, is there any risk policy that is in place or not, the mechanisms to deal with the 30-day payment issue, are they there or not, in the human resource management, how is the planning there, is there a human resource plan, human resource development plan, retention policy, recruitment process and policy, are they there, do they exist? What is their policy in terms of filling funded vacancies in a particular period of time as prescribed by the Public Service Act and the regulation? those things are there or not. What you will see in the expenditure report are the outcomes of those weaknesses. The Nathan Treasury was also reported to start reporting now on the public entities, as we have seen in the presentation yesterday. Ordinarily, the Nathan Treasury is only reporting on departments, because the notion and the view was that, look, I remember, we tabled an appropriations bill. Appropriations bill consists of the departments that you conduct oversight on, and your mandate is to consider and adopt appropriations bill. While the outside appropriations bill is not your territory, right? For instance, funds that are earmarked through the direct charges from the central revenue funds, you don't consider that. Those are your state what debt costs, the salaries of judges, the salaries of president, deputy president, remuneration for honorable members, and many other national schools levy, that those are your indirect charges against the central revenue. So they will not be part of the appropriations bill. It's important for members to get that distinction clear, that your oversight is limited to the appropriations bill, right? What we did say to children is that for entities, as much as we understand your argument, but for entities not to be to be reporting on what the business committee will be amiss, because the very same allocation that this committee processes into the national department, majority of those allocations go into transfer in such cases. Now, when the department comes to you and reports and says, no, we spend 100%, that 100% expenditure is not the same expenditure. The department might have only spent 5% on its core. The entire 95% is transferred to entities, and therefore that's where you need to go into and see how that money has been spent. And so it's a different treasure of a day of you, but in this case, we need the report of the public entities to be part and parcel of this quarterly report. Hence, this is a useful that of your move. And therefore, it's important for members to understand that particular sequence and chronology and the motive, so that we keep it continuous. And if we need to refine that report as well, the committee has got a responsibility to prescribe on format. Chair, I will just venture now into future work, areas of future work, which I intend as areas of future work. Even though I've highlighted an issue that are outstanding in the bulk area, but there are areas of future which we cannot do without. One, just as a recent trader, Chair, there are projects that need to be followed up, which are outstanding. One, integrated financial management system project, which is IFRS. This committee dealt with this project, but it was not closed. The issue that is outstanding is for traders to come back to this committee and actually outline as to what are the remedial actions that were implemented, as we indicated parties, as far as the project is concerned, those regular things were determined by the internal auditors, and the forensic investigation after took place. So that needs to be closed. Secondly, the employment creation facilitation fund, which is a job fund, that issue has been disputed by this committee over time, because initially there was no minimum rent that was allocated for this program, and that amount has not been moving, there's been overspending time and again. So this committee will need to also close this matter by getting the feedback and briefing on Treasury as to how best it has implemented the recommendation that we made with us. Infrastructure fund is part of the economic stimulus package, announced by the president, is also a matter that needs to be followed up. Supply chain reforms, where the committee yesterday spoke about the procurement bill, that procurement bill also will need to be also presented to the committee. So this committee, because it deals with spending, anything that has to do with procurement, is in the terrain of the expenditure. We should not divorce the expenditure mandate and mean that equality with the spending. Expenditure is informed by different processes that we must also have an understanding on and must be able to link that flow. Government guarantees, implementation of conditions related to additional funding on bailout. This also is an important issue. There is a phenomenon now of the state moving into tapping into fifth class when it comes to bailout of SOEs. Whereas in the past, you just issued a guarantee. Government issued a guarantee and the state, the SOE will get money from the market. What does that say? That for us is a red flag as a committee. Because it says certain SOEs are now unable to go into the market and get money. That's why we are sitting on the paper. And the question that this committee should ask is, what are the implications of that in the service delivery for the poor? because the fifth class is resources that are earmarked mostly to change the paradigm where you've got inequalities, poverty, unemployment, and so forth. The PICC, the committee engaged with the PICC at some point where it was addressing what they call strategic infrastructure projects, six projects, to really see if those projects, because they are funded out of this budget, they are also making any impact in the scale of unemployment inequalities as well as poverty. Key programs that were also presented by us as a support staff, where we were tasked with the risk statement, where we identified programs that might be posing a risk into the fiscal or into the government programs. We identified water infrastructure projects because there were budgets that were not moving in those projects. And we identified EPWP where budgets were also not moving in those projects to say, let's look at how you can actually make input in terms of conditions, techniques, planning those projects to make sure that there is better planning for better implementation. School infrastructure development, which includes your ACD, accelerated schools infrastructure development initiative in the Eastern Cape. Remember, in the Eastern Cape in 2009, there was a report that suggested that of all the provinces, the Eastern Cape was leading in terms of the backlog of math schools, and therefore there was a budget that was made available to make sure that that backlog is being eradicated. Water, sanitation, and electricity also was part of the program. In other provinces, they have eradicated that program. The general transport program, I've already spoken about, this chair is a hot potato. The general transport program is a hot potato. One, this committee has been pursuing this matter of policy a clarity. Where does the scholar transport function reside? Is it with the basic education or is it with the school of transport? Right? That matter is not enclosed. In the past, we've invited both departments to come and address the committee. But given that, there has been no convincing and compelling clarity with the questions. That is one aspect of it. The second aspect of it is how you implement this function in provinces. Province A will implement it through public works and roads. Province B will implement it through development of basic education. Province C, transport, and so forth. So there's a lot of confusion. And what is happening is the funding model of it is part of the equation to share allocation to provinces. But equal education is part of our stakeholder, the political sphere, has been argued to say this should have an infinite amount. Because when you put it in the equation to share, you are risking school children one day not going to school because provinces have actually adjusted their provincial equity share in this number of funding. And when it's part of the provincial equity share, what it does is that whenever there is a crisis, it becomes a soft target for the provinces. And therefore, we do not want that. And so this committee is really given that responsibility to look into those kinds of things and see how can it better partner with the particular committee, perhaps, and some of these things, liberations, and a lot of also political discussions as chairs and as groups and as members to try and iron out those kinds of things. So I was putting on different departments, reflecting my spending and network performance against plan target, spoken about. The following entities are showing poor audit outcomes. I will not go through them. Follow-up on general strategy chair. Quality become. There are specific entities where this committee has approved a bailout coupled with a turnaround strategy. Now, once you approve that, you need to follow up on how far has this turnaround strategy been implemented. One being the post office, two being the express, three being the ESCOM, your FAA. There might be many others that have gotten some funding and some bailout, but these are the specific ones which came to this committee to present the turnaround strategy and said, this is, give us 5 years, give us 3 years to turn around this thing. We can make this so much money. Understand that. The other thing, Chair, that you need to look at is the conditions, which we also spoke about this, the conditions on bailout. Are these conditions assisting this committee to conduct a clear oversight? And this committee is given enough time to go through whatever the special appropriations bill is and make their input in tightening up those conditions. So that you ensure that there's better reporting, there's better accountability, there's better governance, and also the turnaround strategy is better implemented. And financial recovery, Department of Water and Sanitation Affairs is also an elephant in the room that this committee has pursued. We still need to look into that. There are challenges in that department in terms of the budget and so forth. Public sector, which is one of the biggest challenges, the provinces and municipalities recruiting whenever they want to recruit, we need it. Even if you put a ceiling in the personnel, that ceiling, we will only see it happening at a national scale. When you go into provinces, into municipalities, people continue to do as they wish. So that was the critical issue. That's why the wage bill issue is not easy to deal with, because we are not in the same page from national to local government. Payment of monies that are owed to municipalities. Municipalities are not the only ones who owe ESCOM and water boards. But they are also owed, that's what you pick up, they are also owed by departments, national and provincial departments. And if those departments don't pay the bills of municipalities on time, they cripple them in these municipalities to be able to save their own debt as well. Remember, some of the municipalities don't have enough revenue streams and so forth. But so if we look at the ESCOM issue and water board issue being owned by municipalities, we should not divorce the national departments and provincial departments that are also owned municipalities. In the past, there's been intervention, chair, if you remember, an intervention where the treasury would hold equitable share to municipalities because they were all in ESCOM. This committee raised their view to say, no, that you can't hold equitable share to municipalities because the victims, people who fall into the crime, is the poor people. But also, again, there are national intervention who own municipalities. How do you deal with that? We need to put measure into the payment of invoices within 10 days is a legislative issue. The PFP requirement, it needs to be sorted out, it needs to be dealt with. On your EDM monitoring quarterly report is an issue that consistently you need to be raising. Number 6, Chair, Department of Public Works and SNDF to finalize the function sheet of contracted development and maintenance. This issue, Chair, emanated from the oversight, where the committee's observation was that there's been a failure for public works to actually maintain the infrastructure of the South African National Defence Force. And the argument in the view of this committee was that SNDF has got its own capacity to do certain things for itself. Why not take this maintenance budget from public works and give it to SNDF, but follow the correct processes, follow the right procedure. Again, the other part, this committee also raised an issue to say, no, but that can only happen if SNDF can also prove to us that yes, indeed, it does have capacity to implement. Because we don't want to take the function from the DPW and then you are sitting with the budget and that budget will end up doing other things other than maintenance. So the follow-up meeting that needs to happen is to actually invite the SNDF and public works to demonstrate whether the capacity to maintain its infrastructure exists or not. And therefore the committee can make a recommendation. The final recommendation to say, DPW, move that budget of $1 billion into SNDF.
Based on this issue, Chair, I think now it's going to be very, we have to consider this one very carefully because public works has been specifically given an infrastructure function. So I don't know now how that will affect this, it's okay, the strategy.
Yeah, and there are some key challenges that we've outlined. The macro challenges related to slow and declining economic growth, which is what we all know, impact on budget, and compel the government to do more with less. And that's what this committee also looking to do, is value for money. Is there value for money or not? Change into parliamentary program and the impact on planned community activities. This committee operates within the framework of the bigger program, which is parameter program. And sometimes those programs are fixed from time to time. Late or non-submission of information by the department undermines meaningful engagement. we've got an elephant in the room here where documents arrived in the morning. If those documents arrived in time, 2 days before the meeting, they will be later revised and get a new version of the presentation. So that's an issue here that we may need to also look into. In the invite letter, which is written by the Committee Secretary, there is a disclaimer there that says the department must submit documents before a particular period, and we need to enforce that so that this allows us as support staff to scrutinize the document and be able to assist members in terms of the critical areas that members need to look into. Level of responses is the same issue. Parliament should ensure that responses to committee and recommendations are prompt. They make a follow-up check on the recommendations through follow-up meetings or through a written letter to a DG if you make a recommendation that you feel that needs to be followed up. Write a letter to the DG, how far is the quality implementing this? Or in the follow-up meeting, the approach that you can also adopt is to say before a DG, we deal with the business of the day. Let's go back to our last meeting. These are the recommendations that we have made. How far are you? Matter of arising. Give us in one or two slides how far you've gone implementing that. The training of members to be a central pillar for the committee, yes, we agree. There will be stakeholders coming in and out to train members. There will be conferences that members will also be attending as part and parcel of a capacity building, training outside, inside Parliament. It's really going to be a marathon on each other. Many bills had to allow for sufficient time to consider complex issues. Many bills have been reviewed recently. So we'll put that review to test and see if the very time frames that we've been complaining about will still be an issue. The committee should consider employing a focused approach to implementing whereby members are allocated into different areas of key priorities. This is what we've always been advocating. Chair, as I propose that we say, we've got about 11 members, for instance. When we meet different departments which are clustered into public services, community development, social services and so forth. Now, for 11 members, you can take 2 members that have got more experience and more expertise in a particular sector, to lead the interrogation or the questioning into the appropriate department. And not that there are members of one specific, but 2 or 1 member that lead a focused question to that particular sector because of his or her expertise and experience, that will also assist and play a meaningful role in the competition. Some key recommendations continue strengthening and enhancing mutual beneficial partnership with external and internal stakeholders. Some chair stakeholders, you have what you call symbiotic relations, and you've got to embrace that. You've got data trader, for instance, who accounts to this committee, but also who provides information for this committee to conduct its oversight. That is the symbiotic relationship that you should embrace. You've got, again, Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, which accounts to Parliament, but who also provides information on performance of other departments for you to be able to conduct oversight. So those are some of the relations that we need to understand when we are when we have these particular stakeholders. The committee to foster and maintain effective working relations with other committees in Parliament, I've spoken about that one. There is a need to strengthen the partnership with portfolio committees during the budget process. Portfolio committees should be encouraged. Musa has spoken about this one. Chair, thank you very much. We will deal with the question and other session. Thank you.
My approach is not that, but what's going to happen is that as you respond to the question that we also give you and the second part that applies to all of you. But just on the last point that you said, can we just agree that when we get quarterly reports from National Treasurer, they must always come with a DPNP. I just wanted to put that front so that we give these people the time and move away from being a number conscious, but to get a whole impact. Can I take the hand? Okay, right. Can I limit members to 2 questions? if you don't have to take two questions, take court one, you can take one, but two questions, but again, limiting our time to at most 3 minutes. Start there, let me come.
Thank you very much, Chair. I will reintroduce myself today. My name is Ashwell Serapin, and I'm a member of the CNC and from the Democratic Alliance. Two questions. First one is, does the National Treasury produce any reports that check technical alignment between APTs and the budget? Because you mentioned that earlier, but that's not our job or your job as a researcher, so that should be done as part of the cycle at National Treasury. So if they don't produce such a report, we should be pressuring them to do so. And then the second is more comment here on the reports we get. You mentioned the quarterly reports from the Sun DPME. What I would like to see in those quarterly reports is percentage of targets met and percentage of budget spent in future. Because we usually get that in the crafting legislation. It was useful to see expenditure patterns throughout the year to prevent this fiscal dumping situation. And any other useful information. It's not just that they come and give us the quarterly report yesterday. Actually, a very disappointing impairment of policy that I got from the provincial legislature. And I'll forward the researchers some of the reports we used to get there because they were much better quality content.
Honourable members, that's a good example of the conciseness and the directness of the question. Honourable Joseph?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I will speak myself to 2 points as well. First one is on public participation. I've heard about the adverse stakeholders and submissions, but for this one now, the immediate one, which I think I heard was closing the 12th of July, I would just request somewhere in the other presentation it was spoken about the stakeholders. I would like to know the list of the stakeholders that was dealt with in the previous parliament. It could help us just understand where we are, where we must go search for. And then the second part about the quorum of meetings. I noted the sentence was phrased that for any business there must be a quorum. But I really don't see why there must be a quorum for presentations, for example. So the question I'm asking, who decides what is a quorum? Is it this committee or is it the rules of parliament that decides the quorum? Because we have to say, probably have to say, a quorum, you need a quorum if there's decision making to be made in that meeting. Then you need a quorum. But if it's a presentation and any other information that needs to be shared by a stakeholder, then why should there have a quorum? Thank you. Thank you.
Good morning, my name is Christina Koman. I just want to ask, in terms of the incidents that were reported, especially like the issue of the Department of Health, like the issue that you raised yesterday, maybe for us to be what on board, as to how global this, what power does the committee have to hold the department accountable to say to avoid the issues of legal battles. Like yesterday we stood on TV, there's a case in Pretoria, which might end up in a lawsuit. And then the next question is that maybe we should be voted to say, in terms of the visit and oversight visit to Plaza in 2015, we still seeing the understanding which leads us the money being transferred to other sectors. So maybe if we may be able to speak as to what proposals or advice were given to PASA and whether they were implemented or not. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to basically that from the question that you have, why do we can't reduce any portfolio? Can we deduce that the fact that we are a creature of legislation, it makes us a standing committee? And others are portfolio committees because they establish the discretion of Parliament in order to enhance their internal arrangement. That being said, I just want to find out that the first question is the link between us and the executive. And I'm raising this question because in our interaction, the Speaker clearly indicated that portfolio committees and standing committees are in the purview of the legislature. So the Speaker is the head. by doing oversight on the executive, which is led by the president. We do not have a direct report, pardon my lack of a better word to use, of a particular minister. So we can say that our direct report is maybe the National Treasury. When we have challenges, who do we run to? Do we run to the Speaker? Do we run to the leader of government business? Or do we run to the Minister of Finance? And lastly, Chair, the second question is depending upon the confusion around our challenge. Are we a responsive or a proactive? And let me say, from the name, I pick up that appropriation means allocation of something. We allocate budget or money or approve the allocation thereof. But in Mr. Musa's presentation, he says our focus is mainly on the spending. But spending happens after allocation. So I'm not able to be proactive and say, based on what the SONA, the MVP and are guiding us, allocation should be in this fashion. And if we're not entirely happy, we can then make recommendations for that to be corrected, unlike having to react in area or post factor. Thank you, Chair.
Never been copied like what this committee has done. First, of course, I took all the critical questions and then any follow-up to this matter would be to say we appropriate and monitor. Are we then, after monitor, able to apply our money into appropriation? Then the last one, which is, at what you're saying we are only free in the tech one to record, yeah, because it doesn't have. It's only the headquarters where we are free to call in its department or entity to come in and make presentation. Aren't we able to, as informed by, let me say, public outcry, because by virtue of us, Jefferson, being the member of parliament, we feel that the biggest and the second one is that the budget is not about just numbers, it's also about the people. Can't we at any point in time agree that this committee, in fact, because of this particular issue, we have to, as a matter of fact, call that particular entity or department to come in and explain whatever is being done. Thank you.
the group meeting, what is going to happen to us? Because now we want to go out and who is to be in.
I think I'll take over from, or take off from where one of the planners my first question is, being a member of this committee, are there instances of conflict of interest and the need for declaration? That's my first question. And what would you regard as conflict of interest? And maybe I started wrongly. I actually thought I wanted to say, Vanessa and Glomo, thank you very much for your presentation. But I do take note that the team, support team of this committee is made but you did a good job. Thank you very much. The other question that I had was related to listening to yesterday's presentations and today, and trying to locate ourselves into the whole process and how departments operate. In government departments, there's something called internal audit committees. And I wanted to find out, is there any stage where there would be internal audit and the audit committees before the role of the AG? Is there any way in which there is possibility? I know that we said that we can do whatever it was never used before or call anybody. But there would be, or maybe get a report from Treasury on the functionality of those particular units in government funding. But the things that we see actually tells us that we're paying internal audits, and every entity does have an audit committee. What is the role of these and how do we have a possible interface with them? And the other one, Chairperson, I know you said two, this one is from your own expressions and indications and examples. The role of this committee in matters that are of national interest as we speak. Like for example, if something happens now, are we able to intervene at a particular place and get more details? I will make an example of the other things that are in the public space for many years, and it is so painful to see Amanda Adala, all people from the Eastern Cape, all people from the different rural areas, and for that reason, it's actually rural people who come and camp here because of a pension thing, Transnet, you know, that is painful. Because these people have literally nothing else. They don't even have energy to work anymore. And yet the state owes them, and we seem not to be responding to them. How do you, as this committee or as our team supporting this committee, are we able to intervene such things?
This response, can I request from honourable members, time is spent to, can I request that we end at 1:30 and we come back at 2:30? So that we show it. So I think that maybe in the afternoon you'll see that we've got only one presentation. So I think that many issues coming here. Can you proceed?
Thank you. Yes, I'm.
Oh. Okay. No, thank you, Chief. I just want to go through two questions. I see here there are issues that are obtained from the legacy report that implies that we have to, as a committee now, immediately start processing from now. Because there's a whole lot of things. How are we going to, how are we going to process that? Immediately now, or still going to be thinking or digesting about it? Now, my main worry is about this issue of conservation, because we're seated here now, the bill is there before the table, but I imagine us now having to comprehend the content of each and every subcommittee's origin or input on the various budgets. That's why we are avoiding this issue of, undermining and traumatizing people. For me, it's very difficult to do. I do not buy from drama form. So that's what people understand how we're going to deal with that. Because there must be a way to deal with it. Because the agency that we are referring to now is this, we can't see ourselves now struggling. And the committee to fast track the process that has not been passed.
Okay, I still want to speak to the honourable member at least one more chance to come up with our question, which is the new state for all. So when you respond, let me perform the one that take my turn to the time.
Thanks, Chair. Let me try to be as compassionate as possible. On the issue that the honourable member is about, I will correct him or react him. I couldn't agree more with the member. We are both proactive and reactive. So everything starts with appropriation, and then the instruments is made to with all the key practices of government. And then we monitor and we look at the annual report, which is more than reactive. But we are both proactive and reactive, but that's proactive. And then, in terms of past performance and allocation, do we have powers? Definitely, yes. We have the power to redirect the allocation. If past performance has not been satisfactory, we can recommend that, let us amend the budget, because the department has not been performing. So we have those powers. Other questions I'll leave to my colleagues. On the issue that it's a very important one, the question about internal audit committee. Yeah, there's no structures within the department. Do we invite them? As the example, we definitely used to invite them. The unit is responsible for M&E, monitoring evaluation, audit committee, internal audit group, invite representatives. So, but what we found is that when they come here, because they come, somehow they report also to the ministers and so on and so forth. So yes, they will come, but they will not, be very honest. But the MTEC report that Caroline spoke about also gives us details about the effectiveness of this committee. And then the last question that I will touch on is the issue of the expenditure report. The issue of to get a report with both expenditure and performance, definitely there's been a gap there, and something that this committee must make sure that it happens to be able to treasure and give you anything. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Musa. Thank you very much, Chair. I will just pick up on questions that were directed to us. There are questions, a couple of them that were directed to the custodian of procedure of the committee, Mr. Darren Aaron. We will take the content related questions. If you say for the guru on procedure, whatever goes wrong in this committee, he is responsible for that. don't have to be from London when it comes to the process and the procedure. He's there. But the Bureau of Research here in Musa does research in anything that you want to do with the process. I will do content advice as when in the absence of the permanent content writer. One question that was also asked by another member over there, I can't remember, remember his name, by the way, so my apologies to that. It does say that it produced a report that shows alignment between the ATP and budget. That function, I remember, was done by Shazabek in the past, but with the advent of the DPME, DPME does a kind of an assessment to see if ATPs are really aligned to budget. So that's the function of the DPME. That's one. Two, the question around the list of stakeholders, remember that we had in this committee, the first presentation outlined the stakeholders, the list of stakeholders. There are stakeholders that by law we must contact, which is the FSC, the Financial Industrial Commission, and through Section 7 of the Manifest Act, which is by there. This act constitutes this committee. It created the services committee and the mandate to set up this committee. Even if you go, if you want to go and amend the budget of any department or any program, this is the act that will guide you in terms of conditions. I know Peter yesterday, he asked Treasury as to how do you go about amending the budget and so forth. The act, Peter, guides you in terms of some conditions that are outlined as to where do you start and end. But what I must also indicate from the chair is that amendment of the budget is not in the process. It's a build up from your oversight activities. As you notice and identify this reflex and shortcomings, you are able to build the case of amendment. And if there are no interventions that are being taken on board by the executive for those areas with other issues in my recommendations, we then call for that as the last result. Say, okay, because you have not been responding, these are our recommendations that we've been making over time through our inventory. You've not been responding to. How about we shift this budget from this committee and on? And when it says, Chair, is that when you amend, you can't go up or down. You can only go horizontal. Because once the minister changes the fiscal framework, it's an envelope. It's more like you're getting the salary from Parliament. Parliament indicates it. Of 50,000 rand. So, you've got 50,000 rand to get your way, to get around with. Whatever your needs are, payment of your installment of your car, your bonds, your medical aid, and so forth, you don't have any additional money other than that particular 50,000 rand. So, that's how the fiscal framework is. You've got to amend within what you are allocated, but then comply with the conditions. Chair, there are stakeholders that also, because of interest, you see, Musa said earlier on, you know, Chair, we can take the whole day with this session. It's like push me, but time is upon us. But this session is, we can take the whole day to digest and discuss issues and finish the session. But also, we don't want to bombard members and overload members with a lot of things. We want them to process. The stakeholders that take keen interest on the budget are quite a lot because we are dealing with the most important policy instrument, which is what we've got quite education, we've got the vote. Civil society organizations, COSATO, labor, and so forth. We can send that list again to the government of their stakeholders. The quorum issue that we deal with, what powers that this committee has to do oversight overhead. Musa responded to that, that you've got powers to scrutinize the expenditure of departments and call upon those departments that are doing well, and you can be able to then redirect the budget where you see it's necessary. You've got those powers. What recommendations were made to PRASA, Darren can please read that report, over that report, just to give members. Give members background, findings, and recommendations so that as we follow up, we can actually look at that. But I must also indicate, Chair, that there's been a couple of engagements post that particular incident. So things might have moved to a particular direction after now.
and therefore, but we'll furnish the members with a representation.
Standing committee and portfolio committees, what we run to going for the challenge, of course, your point of call first is the speaker. The speaker is the one that leading the department, the same way the president leading the executive. Remember, these are three arms of state which are independent from one another, but they are working together to assist each other to perform the function. Now, when we speak to the speaker will then speak to the business, to the leader of business, and that will be the president. And that the leader of government business will then cascade into different ministries. Even with your report, when you fill the report in the house, the speaker refers that report into the government businesses, and then the leader will then secure the contacts into ministers that are affected. Our post reactive, Mosai has spoken about it. Are we able to apply our mind after monitoring to the application process? Based on the case studies that you pick up through your oversight, yes, honourable member, provided you've got enough and accurate information that you need to apply your mind when you're processing the application speed or the implementing speed, that's why you are given the responsibility to pass the peer. That's why this act was that says you can no longer rubber stamp. From the past, they came, you can rubber stamp the budget by the executive. Now, with this act, you can no longer rubber stamp. You take all the information given to you, you analyze it, you actually apply your mind as far as the payment is concerned. That's why there was that engagement yesterday with the treasury. Before the application was taken, there was a four-quarter report which extensively was discussed on the second department, because the appropriations bill tabled the budget of the very same department. Now, it will not make sense to see the poor performance of the particular department that has been overseen for quite some time, and when you see it, if allocation is increasing in the appropriations bill, you don't make any comment around those things. Are we able to, okay, that's the next one. Are there any conflict of interest? Darren will also speak to that one. Yeah, conflict of interest. The main termination, support team. Yeah, we just lost a colleague who was resigned last year, Darren. Yeah, for family reasons. So, yeah. Is there any stage where we invite internal committees as guests with that one? In fact, what we did was to first define what you call external oversight bodies for departments, this committee being one of those, and other bodies like the AG and your PSC and so forth. We also ask ourselves what could be the internal oversight bodies for departments, so that we are able to bring that information to bear and sharpen this committee. The internal auditors are the internal oversight bodies. Monitoring evaluation and the internal oversight of the department, making performance of the department, while the internal auditor deals with compliance issues in the department. And therefore, we do not understand the notion of waiting for the AG to come to the end of the financial year and pick up things. Meanwhile, it's internal. And I understand when the auditor says the question around the functionality of these bodies is very questionable. So I think it's a matter that Chair can pursue to say, let's look at the functionality and probably the structure of internal auditors, because they report to the DG. You see? So the DG is the one that you hold accountable, but he's the one that employs and appoints those particular internal auditors. And so the independency is a bit problematic, because those bodies need to be independent. As you said, they have independence, so they can do their work effectively and give the information to control the development accountable. The outstanding issues on the legal report, we need to process that now. Yes, I remember. In fact, those are the issues that will form part of your programming process as you go. These are the issues that will also form part of your interim planning session that we have with this committee, saying that we can't do the church implementation now because we are at the end of the last term for 2014-2019. So we would just have to do a planning for now up to the remainder of the financial year and wait for the new term to can have the new strategic planning parliament and the new political priorities of parliament, which must find expression into the strategic planning and APP of this committee and also inform the objectives of the work of this committee. To avoid upstanding, the Money Bills Act, the Money Bills Act is there to avoid upstanding, remember, that's why you are now given power to engage the practically with the budget. For the permanent budget office, which is introduced by this President Act, which keep responsibility to advise these four committees on amendment and on budget issues, research and whatnot. So it's a very important element and dynamic that has not been there before. And what we've done there, we've only amended budget once, that allows the 1 million rent. So it was the first amendment ever that was done by this committee. We hope that it will continue to happen. But the amendment of the budget, I must warn concerning that it's a very contentious issue, both politically and economically and otherwise. So it needs to be administratively as well. It has to be well managed carefully, so that it does not yield unintended consequences as you don't want to find yourself in. This committee intervene with the issues, of course, Chair. This committee is part and parcel of the bodies in Parliament that represent the people. Need arises, this committee has got the power to intervene. But I must say also, in other instances, working with your counterparts, which are portfolio committees, because some of the issues that are raised more often than not, they fall in the purview of the portfolio committees. Some of the things might have interest in because of emotions, but you need at all times to step back and say, is it within this particular budget that I was given? Or I can raise it, but also give it to the portfolio committee to run with it. Those things will happen over time as you conduct oversight as well, where you will find yourself in the past of control rooms, but that's not your issue, key issues that you should focus on. Leave that to the control rooms to run with it, can raise them as fine as a red flag, run with it, and focus on your issue. I must also say, Chair, that in joint meetings that we encourage as part of the collaborative work that the committee should have with other committees, you also need to be mindful of being taken over by the program, portfolio committees, right, or other committees. Champion your program, meanwhile you are also mindful of their program. So it's important to be open-minded, not being dominated by those portfolio committees in your own program. The other issues that you must also raise question on in this collaborative process is that there are instances where you find that the chair, the core chairs, are not in the same wavelength in terms of understanding the issues that are being discussed. The other chair is all out and up in arms in defense of the department and the ministry. The other chair wants to address the issues right there, right? What we need to understand, the chair, is that Parliament is about oversight. Parliament is about calling the executive accountable. Parliament is about a robust discussion. You are not up there to get someone, but you are articulating and addressing the issues that you have picked up, that you are assisting the executive in a way to improve, but when you are protecting the executive, you are not helping them. You are disadvantaging them, because we need to raise these issues to them openly, and this is the first one, by the way, raising these issues, before they meet around with these issues. So, it's very important that we understand both of them. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry for taking that. I can talk the whole day when I speak about these things. I'm very passionate about it. And I'm from Rwanda, by the way, same as you. So the man from the chair is dominating this committee.
Yes, we're talking about the I can think of one example where the committee raised the issue, but then a month or so after the committee raised the issue, the media got a hold of it, because I think the story, and it blew up. It led to forensic investigation and stuff. Then our chairperson said, but we were the ones who raised this thing to begin with. During our 14 expenditure briefings, we had a separate meeting with the yesterday's session was information sharing. Then, from that information sharing, the committee will decide more present the Minister of Finance and the DG must come and explain the job site, then IFMS, etc. And then, that's where we, the committee, will now come with the serious questions. Yesterday's session was more for information, we need clarity. Please explain that. Can you give more clarity here? If not, I'm not happy with that answer, no, we must go in five. Now we continue, Chair. Conflict of interest. Rule 13 of the National Assembly speaks to the declaration of private interest of members. This rule basically says if a member has personal or private financial or business interest in any matter before the committee, that member must for the commencement on the engagement. Before the committee, like we are discussing IFMS, one of the members is a director in one of those companies indicated. Just indicate before the, even before the meetings that the we get the presentation. So if this particular company is being discussed, I'm a shareholder there or whatever, for record purposes. And then some members go as far as saying, sorry, letting it being discussed, I'll just go outside. That's for to protect yourself. You don't want that. You don't want people to say, this person is a director, ended up defending this company, and so forth. So that's time to avoid yourself. The forum is provided for in terms of the rules of the National Assembly. Rule 162 outlines the forum requirements. The first one says a committee at all times requires at least one third of its members to be present for it to conduct any business. Does now mean we can commence with presentation like yesterday during the decisions. So we could have continued with four members if you wanted to. Then you get to a meeting where you have to talk to the board. Now you meet six members at least. Six permanent members of the committee. One of the permanent members can bring the alternate, or the chairperson can go on. So those rules, those forum requirements are in the rules and we have to abide by it. We can't, we receive 50 plus, it's not to continue with meetings if you realize that. We're not going to even have a one person there.
For clarity,
is there a
difference between any business or all business?
Any business is any business. It's like yesterday's one, it's today's one. We could have continued with four members, but the committee cannot take this. We can, for instance, we won't be able to adopt our minutes, previous meetings minutes. We won't be able to adopt the report. We won't be able to take any decision. We can ask the department, for instance, if treasury is here, we can ask, what can you please discuss with that report? They say, we'll note it as National Treasury undertook to furnish the committee with this and this and this. I won't be a resolution. Closed meetings, those are really, really exceptional circumstances. Really like your if I may use the IFMS again as an example. Treasury wanted us to do it in a closed session because people's names are mentioned in the forensic report. But the committee felt, no closed meetings for this. In your presentation, take out the names, but we are continuing with the meeting. But if it happens that there is a closed session, members are allowed to go out. I can't go and be prefect there and once when you are tweeting something, yelling, or that I cannot do. I'll suggest to the chairperson, a member level on responsibility in terms of their conduct. So we have a closed session, we ask PMG nicely, ask the media nicely, please excuse us for the next session, we'll go out and call you when we are done. And that's how it happens in a closed session. But we are taking away a closed meeting. Is there anything else? The alternates can attend at any time they want. In fact, any member can attend at any time if that member is interested in a member before the committee. That's why the dead list is distributed on a daily basis. Members usually will sit and say, that is a juicy one. I've been taking this one since my father and I want to attend. They come and they participate. No problem. The alternate comes in when decisions have to be taken. When the committee needs to decide on a question, like a report. That's where the alternate will come in and say, like for instance, today, President Plank, Winnie is not here. If we had a question before the committee, the honorable member was going to be allowed to vote on the matter. That's where the alternate comes in, when decisions are being taken. If both of them are attended, only the permanent member has a vote. Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, the lockdown? No, there are rules there. When you go to the lockdown, you get a set of rules. You sign there that you are going to abide by the rules. You are not allowed to use laptop. You are not allowed to use your phone. Because some of the issues being raised in, for instance, the budget speech, some of these issues affect market conditions. So if one of the members in the lockup, the lockup starts at 9, 10 o'clock, you tweet there, text increased by 20%. Now it's sent to the media and then the markets will react even before the minister tables the budget.
Okay, but I think it was more about can I go out and so on, because then I want to go to the department. Yes, you can and so on. There are always police at the door. and there are police at the door when you come in there, you write your name, you sign, you are inside. Since you got the market, the information is that it's market sensitive, very market sensitive. So everybody wants to know what is happening. So that's the main thing. So I'm sure Parliament has much take chances about that. But as far as you being able to go to the bathroom and come back, you can't go to the bathroom and disappear. If that happens, you send off.
Just everything that you just leave your documents in the venue and you go to the bathroom, come back and then that's it. But that has never happened before in any of our local sessions that I'm aware of. Somebody posted something while in the local session. So we haven't had problems with that.
I know it was more about comfort, praise, and so on at the end. And colleagues, those who have participated in question just one, before I conclude, that's fine.
Thank you very much, Chair. Now, the question is based on the policy that the National Treasury has on grants and subsidies that are wrong over. Because I know that when we appropriate, it will come here, we'll pass the bill, it will be appropriated, grants and subsidies will be allocated to departments. But when the cases are wrong over, the presentation does not come here, it goes to the National Debt. So where they reject and the money is lost to the National Revenue Fund, are we able to be with the information to know which provinces, which municipalities, and therefore are able to make the recommendations in terms of how those funds can then be better appropriated? Thank you, Chair.
It's not a question, Chairperson, because that's on the key issues for which was the subject of your condition. But I think number 7 away from it, we need to find a way for the kitchen of the scholar transport and pension. I think we need to come up with a rule, or if ever to propose a rule that this must be uniform, because we went to a project system case while I was feeling the SOP, and we found that there are two buses. I don't know actually where did they buy them, and the text read they were even locked and chained, and the scholars, the learners were suffering. So it's because of who really had to manage this issue of scholar transport. It's a request that we need to come up with the info.
Gender sensitive and then high level, everybody says, what is happening within the department? So
the top floor are standing. We can't have that. So I think these are things that I think let's be appraised on those things and decide what we can do about it. And I'm just saying that's a snapshot if you look at what's happening there. When you look at the executive, when you look in parliament, what we're dealing with this thing, but it's how far it goes. It doesn't cascade down to the departments and SOCs. And I think we need to answer them. We need programs and should be decisive when it comes to that. Honourable members, I just wanted to say, you don't go to church. Those who are Christians, without a Bible, Muslims without a Quran, our Bible here is the Money Peace Act. So let's try when we are flying from here to heaven and so on, just try to familiarize ourselves with that. It will help us. I think it will help us. And I just wanted to make this comment that we've been warned that we should make sure that we are not overwhelmed by other committees. I agree. But we should also watch the other side, that other committees shouldn't see us as overreaching. It's also very important that we should get a healthy balance when it comes to that, right? Because it's very easy to upset people with good intentions from our side. You find that you don't get cooperation and cooperative government that you want. So at all times you must be sensitive to those things, especially when we are going to deal with other communities. It's also very important that we don't just communicate by letters. I think a chair should be able to go to the other to his or their counterpart and say there's this issue. That's what we are thinking and so on and so forth before we formalize that. You spoke about us having to invite outliers as far as negative performance is concerned. But I think the other, we should also say, there would also be outliers in good performance. I think it's also good that we should have those outliers coming to us and telling us how do they do it. Right? How do they do it so that we can see whether we can't take that and help other departments. So I'm saying, and even say in our report that we met in this department, whatever, and it's doing very well and so on, and saying these things can be taken by other departments. The best practice, exactly. And then one area that you also spoke about is the question of you can say things that I say that you don't need necessarily to respond to them. The question of our international benchmarking, when we go to these study talks, I saw the countries that went to, which is good, and the process for Uganda, which is in our continent, which is also good. But it also helps when we benchmark. We go to countries which are at our level, the emerging economies, and again with some similar challenges, but not same challenges, similar challenges, so that we can see. Because for instance, it's very good to go to Germany, to go to the US. Those are old democracies. They've been dealing with this thing for ages and so on. Their unemployment will be less than 10%, and when it approaches 10% is a crisis, we're at 27%. So some of the things that they are doing may not necessarily be relevant to us. So I'm just saying that when you try and look at those study tools that you want to come and recommend, look at the energy economies, what they are doing and so on, and see then at a level, at our level, and perhaps the question of challenges that are hitting us and challenges that affect us. That will be the last one from my side, but can I give you an opportunity to respond to some of the issues that have been raised?
Thanks. Thanks, Honourable Members, and we note the points and we are going to consider them seriously. And the Chair, by way of, I think we need to also apologize, you know. I think we're obsessed in the stage fright. We forgot to introduce our colleagues. Yes, the task of the committee assistant to the committee, and then Ms. Samina Spear, the executive secretary to the chairperson. I think we'll be a summer stage prize. Yes, and then just to zoom in, and the issue of gender share we're taking very seriously. Yes. Currently, the honorable members, I'm serving as an acting senior researcher for the finance cluster, and we've interviewed and everything, and I can assure you the candidate is coming with an email, and we're going to publish and engage with the Ministry of Finance. So I think we're going to take them some serious. And then, I would just take one or two questions, the one on scholar transport. Well, I couldn't agree more with you. It's one outstanding issue that the committee must deal with. And I think we've had meetings on maybe three consecutive meetings with this department, but still we don't find a solution. It's either a policy issue, it's a budgetary issue, we've dealt with it. Hopefully the committee will press and make sure that a solution is found as soon as possible. And then most issues that are raised by chairperson, I think, are points that we need to note and refuse in our way. Thank you, Chair.
One of the issues also on the school transport I can add is that when we visited a particular province, which I'm not going to mention for some reason, we pick up a lot of problems in the program. Service providers, they are training. A person is having one bus, but he claims for two buses. Service providers communicating in current kilometers of travel. Service providers overloading kids. A bus that is supposed to load about 16 people, it loads about 40 people. When the accident happens there, what happens? So, as my other comment here, that this is a hot potato that we need to and make sure that it's done adjustable. The one over question, honorable member, that it does not come to the committee. What you are explaining there is the executive process. Remember there are four stages in the budget, I think this is spoken about in the presentation. The executive process, where it's budget planning, the legislative process, where you come in as committees to approve those bills. The third is implementation of the budget, where you also come in through Indian Monetary Oversight. The later is positive of the budget, where the AG produced the report in scope of step navigating a post process. But the rollovers will come to this commission in the form of the adjustment budget. What they do when they submit those rollover reports into TRADER is still the executive process, which you cannot turn out. What TRADER does is this compilation of your medium-term budget process statement, which comes in two legs, right? One leg is your revised fiscal framework for the current financial year. You adjusted the population, which includes those rollovers that were left over in the last financial year. But remember also, even rollovers are regulated. You can't keep on rolling over money for more than 2 years. And that's one. Two, you can also roll over money that was not committed. And you're seeking an underlying message in that definition. It must be a project that is almost complete that you roll over. But in the past, the rollovers have been approved immediately here and there. So those are some of the intricacies that the committee will need to look into going forward. But the rollover showcase will be submitted to this committee as part and parcel of the adjustment budget. When you look at rollovers, when you look at the environment, which was spoken about also yesterday extensively with Mr. Shayan, and also I also pick up that there are some corrections that we need to make in the presentation when Mr. Shayan said Appropriations Act regulates the environment. No, it's the Public Finance Management Act that regulates environment. Through Section 43, it tells you what sort of shift or movement of money you cannot do. For instance, you can't move money from a transfer budget to defray capital payments. You can't move money from capital assets to defray capital payments, right? However, there is however, this act will help you, as much as the money goes out to survivors, that communicate your money in the conditions of family, but the second barrier is the second aid, which then comes in when you do your overtime. Because this is what set out the guidelines for the executive, which you must hold them accountable to. It set out the roles and responsibilities for the accounting officers or acting accounting officer. What is that need to do? What it does, it also sets out how these environment shipping can be dealt with. It even gives a description to say 48% of a savings that can be moved from one program to another as an environment cannot be 48%. So those are the intricacies that during the budget adjustment the commission will be looking at. My however was, as much as for this act it allows you to hold them accountable, the Appropriations Act gives the Minister of Finance powers in Section 5. It says, as much as the PMMA says 80%, however, the Minister of Finance can approve before these things are submitted here. For the purposes of service delivery and other issues, the Minister of Finance can approve those particular movement of funds, given the motivations and so forth, for the purposes of service delivery. So as you raise those issues in the adjustment budget, you must also be cognizant that the Minister of Finance will have already approved those things. You just need to read them in conjunction with the PMMA and the Appropriations Act and say, okay, what is the view of the committee as far as those motivations are concerned? And remember that the detailed motivations of those movements of funds are not submitted to the committee. They go into Treasury, as we say, remember. But what comes to the committee is the synopsis, the summaries of what the gist of the task of those movements were in the form of the adjusted estimate of national expenditure. There was a question also, Chair, yesterday that was asked around the remedial action to Treasury. As I was saying, that PMMA sets out rules and responsibility of the DG, accounting officer, what it does also in Chapter 10, Section 81, it then gives the executive authority a remedial action. What needs to happen if those responsibilities are not met? Those are remedial actions. Those are the teeth that often are not honorable members always ask us about. What can you do? You call the executive and hold the group accountable on those remedial actions as to at what point they'll be implemented. We've seen that in the regular. We've seen that in the violation of the PMMA. But in terms of 1681, how far are you in terms of implementing those remedial actions? Yeah, Chair, what can you do to be taken serious? Yeah, it's one of the things that I've highlighted, Chair, in our presentation, as I said, maybe in the meeting or in the follow-up meeting with the different department, you say, from our previous engagement, these are the recommendations that this committee made. Take us on board as to how far have you gone in implementing this recommendation in one of the slides. Then you can start the new business of the day. Thank you very much, Chair.
When the pastor was checked, he made sure that all the members of the church left the Bible. So ours is having the book for yourself.
It was really a pastor. He also wanted
our
members. Thank you so much for understanding. Let's take an hour. Let's debate it 25 to. And just communicate to the presenters in afternoon that we're about 30 minutes. Thank you, Argentina.